Chapter 6. The Phone Call. Tony sat at his bedroom desk and doodled on a piece of paper. He was supposed to be doing his homework. Mr. Gore had assigned everybody an essay. Two paragraphs about the football game field trip. One paragraph about the best part of the trip, and the other about the worst part of the trip. Tony didn't want to write. He didn't want to do anything. He had never been grounded before, and didn't like it. No TV for a month, he thought in despair. How will I ever survive? He wadded up the piece of paper he was doodling on and tossed it into the trash can. The telephone rang. He didn't even try to get it. It was always useless when his teenage sister was in the house. Maria always got to the phone first. "Hey, Baloney, it's for you!" Maria yelled from her bedroom. Tony went into Maria's room. Alternative rock music blared from her stereo. Maria, dressed in her usual clothes, black sneakers, black cargo pants, silver-studded black belt, black tank top, and spiked black neck choker, sang into a hairbrush and danced in front of her full-length mirror. "I'll take it in here," Tony announced, turning the stereo volume down. "No way, Jose," said Maria, cranking the volume higher. "Take it in the living room." Then she pushed Tony into the hallway. "Thanks a lot, Miss MTV," Tony replied. "I didn't want to use your phone anyways. It's probably full of germs. Teenage germs. The deadliest in the world." "You're so immature. Just get out of here and go answer your stupid phone call." Maria rolled her eyes and kicked her door shut. "Chill out," Tony grumbled as he headed down the hallway to the living room. "Hello, this is Anthony Madison." Tony spoke into the phone as he plopped onto the couch. "Hello, Anthony. This is David Letterman, but you can call me Dave." "Yeah, right. And I'm Bond, James Bond, but you can call me Jim." "A comedian, folks." A pause. Then, "Really, kid, I'm calling from the Late Show." "Yeah, and I'm talking to you from the moon," Tony replied. "Is this you, Dean?" "No, this isn't Dean. This is Dave. You know, David Letterman, I host the Late Show, and I'm the only guy in New York City that has a space between his front teeth that's wide enough to a bus to drive through." "No way. It's 4:40, and the Late Show doesn't come on until past my bedtime at 10:30. "Yes way, kid. We tape the show at 5:30 in the evening. Then we broadcast it later, even past my bedtime. Anyway, my watch show's 5:40, so it's 4:40 in Kansas City." "I still don't believe you. You're Dean's older brother, aren't you? He put you up to this." "Listen, kid, I didn't know a Dean when I was pooping my pampers. I didn't know a Dean when I was the biggest geek in elementary school. I didn't know a Dean when I was Indiana's wackiest weatherman. And I'm telling you, I don't know a Dean now. And I hope I never know a Dean. As a matter of fact, if I ever meet a Dean, I'll smack him in the head with one of my hams. You've got to believe me. You're speaking to David Letterman." "Prove it," Tony challenged. "You got it. Hey, audience, give a big hello to Anthony." "Hello, Anthony." "Good try, teen. How many kids do you have over in your house?" asked Tony. "I've heard enough. I'm going to hang up now." "Wait, kid. You can't hang up on the king of late night TV. I'd be out of a job if my boss found out that I couldn't keep a defenseless little kid on the phone for a couple of minutes. I'd probably be selling hot dogs on the street corner as early as tomorrow night. Come on, give me one more try." "All right," said Tony. "But this better be good or I'm out of here." "Okay. I was watching the Jets-Chiefs game last night. Near the end of the game, I see the small bear streak out into the field and steal the game ball. Then the bear races into the end zone and scores a touchdown. The crowd goes absolutely wild. I say to myself, this is really strange. Bears don't interrupt NFL games in Kansas City. New York, maybe, but not Kansas City. Then later, I see an interview with ESPN. And boom, it all comes together. The letters I've been getting from Kansas City, the top 10 list, the cries for help. Then I realize you're the kid who's been dying to be on my show. I ain't no dummy, you know. I do have my own TV." "You are David Letterman," Tony interrupted, his heart racing. "That's right, Anthony. You can call me TB. All my friends do. You know, TB, you're an instant celebrity. You're all over the TV. You're in newspapers. You even made the front page of the New York Times." "Really?" Tony asked. "I can't even watch TV for a month. I'm grounded. My parents aren't too happy with me." "Tough luck, TV, but it's true. How would you like to be on the Lake Show? I'm dreaming, Tony replied. This isn't really happening. Yes, it is, TV. I loved your letters. The top 10 lists were hilarious. The bear stunt was fantastic. So how about it? Are you ready to come to New York? Of course, Tony exclaimed. But there's just one thing, Dave. What's that? Can I bring my best friends, Mo and Anna, and maybe my teacher? Tony hesitantly asked. You bet, TB. You're one famous guy. The famous guy, Tony slowly repeated. I like the way that sounds. You're the best, Dave. Thanks for making my dream come true. You earned it, TB. I look forward to having you on the show. Put your mom and dad on the line, and I'll have one of my staff members begin making the arrangements. They're not home right now. They went out to dinner. They made it very clear to me that they weren't grounded. Putting a squeeze on you, eh? Don't worry. We'll call back later. And by the way, who answered the phone? Oh, that's my teenage sister. Aha! Uh-huh. I thought it was Madonna. They must be related. Yeah, probably so, Dave. Take care, TB. I hope to see you soon. You will, Tony said, hanging up the phone. Then he ran down the hall and burst into Maria's room. Guess what? He yelled above the blaring music. David Letterman just called. Yeah, right, replied Maria, turning the volume down on her stereo. He really did call, insisted Tony. He wants me to be on his show. Whatever you say, kiddo. Maria put her arm around his shoulders. You never give up, do you? Let's go to the kitchen and get some ice cream, and you can tell me all about it. Mom, Dad, guess what? Tony said when his parents got home. David Letterman called while you were gone and invited me to be on the Late Show. They're going to call you back tonight to talk to you about it. Mr. and Mrs. Madison took off their coats and hung them in the hallway closet. Mr. Madison looked at Mrs. Madison and rolled his eyes as if to say, yeah, right, here we go again. Mrs. Madison looked at Tony and said, guess what, Tony? While we were at dinner, the Queen of England called me on my cell phone and asked me to tea. Maria wandered in the hallway and joined the conversation. Guess what, Mom and Dad? She smiled mischievously and locked eyes with Tony. Cosmopolitan magazine called while you were gone and offered me a job as a supermodel. Mr. Madison's eyes twinkled. He smiled at Mrs. Madison and Maria. Then he looked at Tony and said, you'll never guess who called my cell phone while we were at dinner. Bill Gates called and asked me for some advice about... The phone rang and interrupted Mr. Madison. Maria picked up the phone. Hello, she said. She listened for a minute and then held out the phone for her dad as a dumbfounded look washed over her face. It's someone for the Late Show. They want to talk to you. Tony crossed his arms over his chest, leaned against the wall and smiled. I told you so. Please, Mr. Gore, Tony begged the next morning as he stood next to Mr. Gore's desk. Will you please take us to the Late Show? Mr. Gore looked up from the testing he was grading. His face hardened and he said, do you really think I have even a slight desire to try to keep tabs on you in New York, one of the busiest cities in the world? Look at the chaos you've caused here in Kansas City, TB. I don't even want to think about it would be like in New York with you. After all, you've put me through. I have to have my head examined to even consider such a ridiculous request. Tony bit his lip and didn't say anything for a few seconds. Then he cautiously said, I saw something happen to your eyes when you were on the gridiron. Gridiron? Interrupted Mr. Gore. I thought you didn't even know what a gridiron was. I looked it up in the dictionary. Great. Now I have an out-of-control 10-year-old academic begging me to take him to New York, Mr. Gore said as he straightened some of his papers on his desk. Tony smiled and struggled with his shoulders. Really, Mr. Gore, something weird happened. Your eyes sort of glowed with satisfaction, and you can't deny it. Yeah, so what? Well, it happened because part of you belongs on the football field, right? Maybe, but what does that have to do with me taking you to New York? Tony paused and looked away from Mr. Gore. When he looked back, his eyes beamed with tears. Part of me belongs on the Late Show, Mr. G. I just know it. I can't explain how I know, but I... If I could someday step on the stage and be part of the Late Show, my eyes would glow like yours did. Mr. Gore stared at Tony for a few seconds. Then his face softened. You never give up, do you, TB? Mr. Gore said, shaking his head with disbelief. Okay, I guess that I'll take you. "You won't regret this, Mr. G," Tony yelled, throwing his arms around Mr. Gore's neck. "Actually, I already do," Mr. Gore said, as he rolled his eyes and peeled Tony's arms from around his neck. "And I can't wait to tell Anna and Mo," Tony said as he raced towards the classroom door. He stopped, smiled, and said, "Mr. G, I'll have my secretary get you an appointment with the shrink ASAP." Then he disappeared down the hallway.